And of course, there are multitudes that are deceived by sin. They're following in the path of darkness. They're going the way of empty philosophies and science, so-called. But here in this passage, we are directed into the center of God's perfect will. And in this manner, we are to pray that God's will be done and that His kingdom come. Now, I've got three very simple points tonight. That this is the starting point of the Christian life, God's kingdom.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. Matthew 6, the Lord's Prayer, where the Lord Jesus said, "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever. Amen." This, as we know, is the Lord's Prayer, the prayer the Lord gave the disciples to pray. The Lord Jesus himself did not need to pray this prayer because he knew the will of God, and he did not need to pray for forgiveness of sin, but he taught his disciples to pray in this manner, "Thy will be done, thy kingdom come." And as we soon launch into a new year, we are called to pray and to strive that we might promote God's kingdom here on earth. That as the Lord's will is done in heaven, let it be done here in earth. So the question comes, are you striving for God's kingdom, praying for it and pleading for it? Stay with us now as we turn to our hymn by Alan McGill, "Jesus Loves Even Me," and then to our message today.
Could we catch the glistening of the dew or snowflake, or the rainbow colors painted on the clouds? Add to these the brightness of the stars and moonlight, and the mantle white which mountain peaks enshroud. Then if we could catch the glitter of each jewel from the earth or gathered from the briny sea, blend them all together in one mighty prism, still the loveliness of Christ is more to me. Did you ever see a baby smile on waking? Or behold...
Father, we thank thee for the privilege of worship tonight. Teach us from your word. We thank thee for this model prayer which our Lord Jesus has given to the church. We thank thee that it's in the scriptures as a guide and direction to us. And we ask that this will be indeed a light to our feet and a lamp to our pathway. We pray for the Holy Spirit to enlighten our hearts and to speak to us. Remember Daniel tonight. We pray for healing and help for him. And we ask your mercies upon him at this time. In the Savior's name, amen. Amen. Yes, do pray for Daniel Roosma. He's obviously not here tonight. He's in Langley Hospital with pneumonia and some other complications. Pray the Lord will guide and be with him at this time. Tonight we're turning to Matthew 6, to the Lord's Prayer, and we're going to look at the petition, verse 10, Thy kingdom come, thy kingdom come. Now, I mentioned that this is safe ground. It's always also rewarding ground because we are laboring here in this for the well done of our Heavenly Father. Well done, thou good and faithful servant, because we are aiming that we might promote and pray and labor on the basis of God's kingdom that must come. Now, at the end of the chapter, verse 33, you can see the priority that is given to this kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so, this is God's approval. This is God's stamp that if you are busy in his kingdom, then he promises that all these other things, those things which are the general cares of life, and they're real, they're important, but if we keep our focus on the Lord's kingdom as our priority, then he will bring those and cause them to fall into place. And so I'm convinced that on this closing Sunday of the year that we're on the right track. And as pastor, I want, of course, the very best for each soul in this congregation. And I want to be a true guide to care and to direct you wisely in the way that is good, both in daily life and for your eternal soul. And if one day you meet me in glory and you challenge me about this service tonight, the end of the year, that I sought to guide you from the Bible, from the Lord's Prayer, I don't think I'll regret for a moment that I have chosen this passage and this petition that you should set yourself to pray and to strive for the kingdom of God. Now, at this point in the year, many people are looking for guidance. And they are looking for direction. They want to know what way to go. Can I fix my life? Can I end the aimlessness? Can I end the emptiness that I experience? I'm getting on in life. Life is passing me by, and I don't feel I've reached that goal of true contentment or satisfaction. And of course, there are multitudes that are deceived by sin. They're following in the path of darkness. They're going the way of empty philosophies and science, so-called. But here in this passage, we are directed into the center of God's perfect will. And in this manner, we are to pray that God's will be done and that his kingdom come. Now, I've got three very simple points tonight. That this is the starting point of the Christian life, God's kingdom. It is the striving point of the Christian life. That's what we ought to be striving after. And then also, it's the stopping point of the Christian life. Because only then will we be fully satisfied when God's kingdom has come. And so let's follow that little plan tonight. Firstly, praying for God's kingdom is the starting point for every one of us. It's the starting point because it begins with self-denial. We are laboring, praying, striving for that kingdom plan which God has put in place. That plan, of course, has to do with the Lord's people, whom he has called under his kingship to rule over and to love them. Now, the Lord himself has defined this kingdom for us. This kingdom is not the created world. This is more specific than that. It's not an outward kingdom. It's not a kingdom with a physical leader, military personnel with an army, or a dominion, or a state, or an institution of earth. But rather, this kingdom is the kingdom of grace here in this life, which will one day translate into the kingdom of glory in the life to come. Now, let's find that here in our Bibles, Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. What is this kingdom which the Lord is speaking about? And in Luke 17, verse 20, "And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered and said, The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, Lo here or Lo there. Behold, the kingdom of God is within you." So it is a spiritual kingdom. It relates to people. It relates to certain individuals who belong to Christ and who are participating in the program of building his church. It is a spiritual work. And so this kingdom has to do with souls. And wherever the Spirit of God has regenerated, brought the new birth, new life into that person's heart, then the kingdom of God is within your heart. And it refers to the redeemed for whom Christ died and for their welfare. So when you pray, "Thy kingdom come," you're praying about souls. You're praying about people who belong to Jesus or who will yet belong to Jesus. And so we are to pray, "Thy kingdom come." That should be a daily prayer of ours. Indeed, it ought to be the continual passion of our hearts, because if the kingdom of God is within you, that desire, that yearning for its extension and its expansion in this wicked world will be a part of your Christian life. Indeed, it will be the priority of your Christian life. And so it's not our own agenda. And it's always a wise thing in making decisions as a Christian, knowing what direction shall I go? Shall I do this? Go right, left, forward, backward? Where? What shall I do? Go the way of self-denial. Choose the thing that's hard on the flesh. Choose the thing that is contrary to human nature. And here, when we seek God's kingdom, we're not seeking our own ease, our own pleasure, but we are seeking that that program of God, the program of his grace, operate with power and advance and bring glory unto God as we seek his kingdom. And so whether you're a seaman or an air pilot, a farmer or a financier, a miner or a missionary, your starting point in your Christian life is to glorify God and in his service seek his kingdom of grace. And to anyone, no matter who he is or who she is, the richest person in the world perhaps, as a Christian, this is your starting point. If you've missed this, you're not even in the race. Father, husband, you are to put God's kingdom first in your life. mother or wife. This is your priority. Put God's kingdom first. This is the defining mark and the testimony of a godly man or woman. He or she is truly living on the foundation, on the basis that they are in the kingdom of God. The Apostle Paul said it this way, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain, and only gain as he lived for Christ." And so that's our starting point. It's the starting point, for all must be in the kingdom, and the kingdom must be in you. Now, I'm preaching the gospel now. I'm preaching the ABCs of salvation. You can't call yourself a child of God. You can't call yourself a Christian. You can't call yourself on the way to heaven if the kingdom of God is not born in you. This is the place of salvation, of peace with God. It's where you start at the cross when you come as a sinner to Jesus. And you can agree with the hymn writer, "King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be, lest I forget thy thorned crowned brow. Lead me to Calvary." This is the starting point of living the Christian life. Boys and girls, or anyone else here, that I wonder, are you in the kingdom? Have you made the Lord Jesus King of your life? And this is your starting point. If not, you're off track. And what's worse, you're still in the kingdom of darkness. You're still in the kingdom that is anti-Christ and anti-God. And therefore tonight you need to be born again. What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom is without observation. It is within you when you believe and trust in the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And if you're not a Christian tonight, if you're not really saved, all the work, all the labor, all the efforts of man-made religion will come crumbling down around you, and you're in danger of losing your soul. This is the starting point. So don't rest until you are in the kingdom and the kingdom of God is in you. Then secondly, this is the striving point for every Christian. We are to acknowledge God's kingdom of souls, his own called out people, and that God is glorified and honored in them. For this, we are to strive. We're to pray, "Thy kingdom come." It's not just to get into the kingdom. Now, that's important. That's vital, as I have emphasized. But now that you are a Christian, your striving, your daily goal, your motivation of life, your passion is now that that kingdom will come and manifest itself, become real and grow and abound through your life and through your service for God. And this is true personally. When the Lord Jesus said the kingdom is within you, he was referring to a spiritual kingdom made up of individuals, believers in Christ. And that has to look like something. When we see a person and the kingdom of God is within them, that must be a life-transforming change in their soul. It's like Romans 12:2, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And so the gospel, it produces a new person. You have become a new creature. All things pass away and all things become new. And this is your sanctification now, which is the will of God, that ye should abstain from sin and every wicked thing. And Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4:4 that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. That's your life, your living, your walking, your talking, your daily attitudes, your lifestyle. You're a new person now, and you're striving that the kingdom of God will abound and come, manifest itself in your heart and life. That's your striving. So it's true personally. It's also true evangelistically. To pray, "Thy kingdom come," is to pray for the ingathering of souls into that kingdom. That souls all around us who are now in the kingdom of darkness, serving Satan, serving their own pleasure, that they will be brought into this kingdom of grace, and that they will be born of the Spirit and become new citizens to serve and follow the Lord Jesus. And so we in the Lord's church, we must become evangelical in our praying. We must be evangelistic in the prayer meeting, praying for souls, praying for those that are the enemies of Christ, that they will be brought into the true family of God. Now, you'll notice in the previous petition, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Now, that's perfection. God's will is done in heaven. In heaven, there is no conflict. There are no police. And I say that because I see someone who is in that realm. There is no need to... There are no criminals. There are no opposition. The will of God is done. And when we pray, "God's will be done, thy kingdom come," when you unite those two together, you are praying that just as in heaven, where the angels serve God instantly, implicitly, where the souls of just men are made perfect, that here on earth, in his church, Christ, his word would be obeyed. His people will be delighting in doing his will, that we will delight in his worship. We think of how the angels and the saints in heaven worship God day and night, gladly, joyfully, gathering around that throne with their crescendos of praise. Here in the church, this is the praise house of God, where we worship with great joy, where the world has no understanding of the delight that Christians take in living and walking and worshiping the Savior. In heaven, all the focus is upon Christ on the throne. We've gone through those chapters of Revelation where you have that concentric configuration of the throne. And there, seated on that throne with the Father, is the Son at his right hand. And then, as in a circle around him, you have those living creatures. And then those cherubim and the angels and the saints. And what focus there is upon the Savior. Here in his church, we ought to mimic that as best we can. Now, we can never get it perfect in this world. But we're praying the Lord's kingdom come. We're praying that the grace, the glory of Christ come into the midst of his church and manifest itself with great power. Let our church services so magnify the Lord as the Lamb of God, as it is in heaven.
When the burdens grow greater, he sendeth more strength. When the labors increase, to added affliction he addeth his mercy, to multiplied trials his multiplied peace. His love has no limit, his grace has no measure, his power has no boundary known unto man. For out of infinite riches in Jesus. He giveth and giveth and giveth again. Have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength is failed ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's forgiving is only begun. His love has no limit, His grace has no measure, His power has no boundary known unto man. For out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth.
Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.